The message I want to share with you came from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, as Pauline read, river planted at the river, a bush in the wasteland. That's the title of this sermon. The prophet Jeremiah of Israel, from this passage, he reveals the sinfulness of a human heart. The author brings to us two vivid pictures of a tree in order to make clear distinction between the two different conditions of a human heart. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And the man who trusts in the one who trusts in man is described as the one is like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity. When it comes, he will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a desert, in a salt land where no one lives. This is what Bible says. Do you understand the bush in the wasteland? I think we want to understand what it really means first. I didn't know what it means, a bush in the waste, until I saw it myself. Before I saw it, I thought I know what it says, but bush in the wasteland, I didn't really know what it is, what it looks like. When I was, it was about 20 years ago when I went to Mexico with the mission team, with the teenager mission team, I visited Mexico. And for these teenagers, we have many projects for them. One of them was really make them to sweat, really. Going up to the hill of the wasteland and digging up a big hole for the purpose of building a toilet. I was there with them, and I had opportunity to see what it looks like. So they had to pull out, the student had to pull out the bushes from the soil. I was shocked to see the ugliness of the bush. There were no leaves, twisted, untouchable, has a shape of a rejection, naked, lonely, of course, no fruit. It stands like a steel sculpture. I almost hearing what he says, if you come to me, near me, I'll trouble you. That ugly picture, it is not a tree, but you cannot even compare with the tree planted. Completely, it's not tree. And it just shocked me. And I remember this passage. Wow, God describes so vividly how it looked like. And the passage said, he will not see prosperity when it comes. What does it mean? When it comes, he doesn't see the prosperity. It means even it rains, because of the nature of the soil, they cannot benefit from it. Soon it will disappear in a second because condition of the soil. He will dwell in the parched places of desert, in a salt land where no one lives. So lonely. It is completely deserted. No one around them stand ugly, lonely, and abandoned. This is the condition of the man who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from God. On the contrary, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. This is compared is like a tree planted by the river that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green, has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. No worries. No worries at all, because always green. Even when drought had come, he does not have to worry about, because he draws water from the root anchored at the riverside. The source of moisture is not rain. The source of moisture is river. In other words, does not depend on the circumstances. When you feel thirsty, naturally, you go to the Word. That's blessed man. Then what is the difference of these two trees? What makes difference these two trees? Difference is where they have their roots in, where their roots are. Where the roots are determines the fate of the tree. Where do they go when they need to get nourished? It's a matter of where they anchored at, from where they get nourishment. Sin is putting your roots down on something besides God. You put your roots something besides God. The bush has its root in the wasteland, whereas the tree planted by the river has its root in the river. Sin and holiness is utterly different way of life, completely different oriented. They cannot go together. Completely different. Sin is not just simply a violation of law. Sin is a matter of heart condition. The tree by the rivers has no worries, always green, because he draws water from the root anchored at the riverside. He trusts in the Lord. When he feels thirsty, because of no rain, he naturally goes to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, 12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Word is living and active. When we go to Word, it heals us, refreshes us, revives us, fills us with the Spirit and power, so we were able to bear much fruit. Only we get healed when we come to the Word of God. We read Psalm chapter 1 also. I just want to ask some questions. That question may help you think about yourself. Where do you go when you have a problem? What will make you happy? What is the thing that makes your life get going? To who and what do you look for life-sustaining stability, acceptance, and security? What's the thing you depend on? Is there anything besides Jesus that seems essential in your life? Where do you look for success or power? Is there anything that you feel, I must have this? This one, I cannot let go. This one, I must have it. Do you have anything like that? These things hold a controlling position in your life. You trust these things more than God. I want to share my foolish experience with you. I've been serving more than 20 years, and I've been serving the youth pastor as a youth pastor. I served a long time ago. But I remember I served. Ministry was my everything. There are times ministry was everything in my life. I didn't have spend my time, my friends. You know, all I was thinking about ministry and serving people. I was busy. I thought that is pleasing to God. Of course, we do ministry with our own faithfulness, but where was my relationship with God? Was he center of my life? Was he truly the source of my life? So I didn't distinguish ministering with all, resuming all my responsibility and taking secret time with the Lord. You know, at that time, my ministry was the thing I had to have. How do we get out of this? I know we all have different shape, different type of things that we need to bring to before God. How do you get out of this mess? We need to get convicted of sin. Ask the Holy Spirit for help. Let him search your heart. Reveal to you what he found in you. Ask God to strengthen your inner being with a spirit by faith that Christ may dwell in you. So you being rooted and established in love, then you will be able to understand the greatness of Christ's love. His great love, his amazing love, Christ's love. We never, never fully understand his love. He will go to the ends of the world to find one lost soul. He will forgive the depth of our sin, deeper than the sea. But still, because he loves, he still be able to love the sin of our life. And his love, how high his love? His love so high. He came from the heaven, the glorious heaven. He came down because he loved us. And his love forever, forever. We need to understand his great love. When he touched our inner being, it is a starting point. With the glorious riches of heaven, he touched our heart, touched our inner being. Another way, fill us with heavenly wisdom, heavenly patience, love. We need to be filled with those stuff. The key word in this passage is trust. Trust in the Lord, trust in the man. You know, trust, belief. Do you believe? These are the key words from this passage. Do you know trusting in the Lord is the work of God? Trusting in the Lord is work of God. Jesus said, John 6:29, the work of God is this. Is what Jesus said. To believe in the one he has sent. And Romans chapter 4, to the man who does not work, but trust God. Trust God who justifies the wicked. His faith is credited as righteousness. You know, many times Jesus mentioned, according to your faith, it will be done to you. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. By faith, we have to see his promise, his blessings, his grace. But we want to see all the work God is working. We want to see with our own eyes. If we don't see, we think God is not there. What a foolishness of ourselves. Let's just trust, even though we don't see his mighty hands upon your life. Even amongst the so troubles you never faced, but still God's blessing is upon you. Let's trust he's at work without ceasing. Our church is in his mighty hand, in his full blessing. I believe through our church, millions of people come to reach to the salvation of Jesus Christ. In New York City, in Philippines, in Africa, let's see the great God's plans for this church. As we march together by faith, I'm sure our church will experience the miracle of miracles in the Lord for this generation. Brothers, sisters, we need to start again. We need to start again. If you are wondering, if you're confused, if you're not sure, we have to start it again. Come to Jesus. Meditate on him. Come to Jesus. Meditate on his promise. Meditate on the work he has done on the cross. Meditate on him, his promise, the coming, second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one we are to trust. We are to trust. Jesus, he sacrificed. We sang this morning. He gave his sacrifice. We never understand the depth of his sacrifice. He paid everything. Jesus was uprooted and put in the desert for us so we can have water. Because what Jesus said on the cross, we have a living water we can go and drink. Amen. Jesus, we have to come to him and believe. Trust Jesus only and believe in him only. Then our faith, weakened faith, forgotten faith, small faith, our faith will be recovered, refreshed in Christ, and we'll be able to see the great love of Christ, great plans for this, great plans for your life. Praise God. Let's pray.